Hello everyone, welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I love him and I know for a fact God loves you. He loves us all. And the Lord has given us every provision we need to live a blessed life in him. You know, I did a broadcast last week on the for the website. We do a website broadcast also. It's on newlivingletters.com. But the Lord had me point out, when people involve him in their lives, then he's involved. And I've been thinking about that all weekend. How when we involve God in our lives, then he's involved. God is not involved in the lives of all of his Christians because they don't involve him. And we're going to explain some reasons why. The Lord gave me one of the most peculiar broadcasts I ever done. And it's called The Newfangled Gospel. And I want you to be aware of the Newfangled Gospel. It's a gospel that's not about Jesus. it includes Jesus. But see, man have been longing so long to have God on his terms. And when I first began to study the word for myself, I didn't start studying the word for myself till I was about 19 years old. I grew up in a Christian home. My mother would show me scriptures, but I didn't study it for myself until I was about almost 20 years old. Nevertheless, you know, that's just how it all rolled out. But once you get to know the Lord for yourself, once you start studying for yourself, you begin a journey that includes God. And God was with me all of my life. And he was involved with my life because I had people praying for me. My parents were praying for me when I was not praying for myself. And I say that now, I lay me down to sleep prayer a lot of times. But I didn't know God. And I didn't know him through Jesus until I was almost 20 years old. I was 19 years old. 3 weeks from my birthday, I got saved. So now, this is why I'm saying all this. The Newfangled Gospel is a version of truth mixed with a bunch of lies. And I want to expose that for you, because it needs to be addressed. The Lord, you know, he finally gave me permission to deal with it. And I guess we always have in certain ways. But this is not to point out a certain denomination or build up another denomination. What I'm about to share with you, the Newfangled Gospel, the enemy has inserted it into every denomination, every move of God. He's tried. Sometimes people broke through. But when the things that we believe, that's according to God's word, that's what the Holy Spirit can use to help us. The Holy Spirit cannot use a lie to help your life. Even if you mean well, even if you got it from somebody you greatly respect. And so these things cause confusion. Remember something. When the Lord sends something good for you, the enemy has to find a way to mess it up. Now, When he knew that he was about to go on to be with the Lord, he warned people that there would be people rising up, even among you, that would try to make a name for themselves and turn the people away and gather people after them. All these things happened. Paul said the same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And if we have time, we'll get to it. Now, these broadcasts are longer on the website, so go to the website. You'll hear the whole thing. Because I'm going to cover scriptures. I want people to know something. God loves you. And he put everything you need in the word of God. Because he's going to back it up. He's standing right there with you to help you throughout your life. You're going to have to receive his word. Now, last week's broadcast, I talked about how the Lord, I used to study scriptures to get out of trouble. And I used to read things. I didn't read chapters until 1990. Every now and then I might read a book of the Bible or something like that. But for the most part, I would get in trouble and I would find a scripture to help me get out of it. Or I would study to preach. And the Lord helped me. He helped me get along from 87 to 1990. He helped me through those days. And I did, and some remarkable things happened because God is good. It's not about, he don't love you no more or less depending on how you study. He loves you like he loves you. He don't love you for what you can do for him. He loves you for you. He loved me for me. But he works with us at our pace. And it's not like you can study, and then God will bless you. No, he's going to bless you anyway. But the thing is, the more you understand and the more light you walk in, the better your life will be and the stronger it will be. I want to make that clear because sometimes people say, well, if I pray enough, God will do this. No, you're going to have to take him at his word and then he'll be able to do something. You're going to have to include him in your decision making process. When he warns you about something, you're going to have to stick with it. And in order to do that, you need a word base. People don't follow people unless they trust them. You're not going to trust God, right, unless you fill your heart with his word. I don't know another way to do it. There is no magic, and you don't have to send money in to bless the preacher so God will bless you. You have to study his word. The newfangled gospel, the preacher say, send in $1,000. That's newfangled stuff. That's not biblical. And they use scriptures out of context to do that. That's newfangled. When people do things wrong, don't get involved with it. Don't hate the person that's deceived. Pray for their strength. Pray for their faith. But don't get into strife, because people are going to do stupid stuff. Get over it. We all have done things amiss. I don't believe they mean any harm. They're looking at the scripture from a certain angle, but see, it's wrong. If it's wrong, don't do it. Don't you do it. You can't stop people from doing wrong. You're designed to bear fruit. And if you want your life to work, you're going to have to fill your heart with God's word, and you're going to have to get to know him. There's a storm coming, folks. Daniel said the only people that would stand, God's people who know him, will be strong and do exploits in the worst of times. There's a storm coming. You're going to have to know God now. So you don't have time for the newfangled gospel. And the newfangled gospel is not just greedy preachers trying to get money out of people. Oh no, it's much worse than that. And the storm that's coming is much worse than you know. The darkness, that satanic darkness, is an evil you can't imagine. He is highly motivated to kill everybody. He come to kill, steal, destroy. You can't imagine how evil it is. You know, the drug cartels, the governments behind the drugs, putting drugs in our neighborhoods. That kind of witchcraft is evil. But the satanic, the evil that's behind that is much worse. People worry about racism. The evil behind it is much. Man can't imagine how evil Satan is. And he's done so much to divide us. And, all the things, the problems you face, he's trying to get you to blame it on something so you don't see the root cause of the problem. The problem, if you receive God's word in your heart, you'll be able to overcome all things. And right now, racism is not the problem like it was years ago. I asked him, I said, when was the last time somebody practiced racism against you personally? And he could not remember. A friend of mine, he couldn't remember. So your life will work if you involve God. And he'll show you how to overcome all rudeness against your life. And people are hurting right now. So don't expect too much out of people anyway. People are being set up for the kill and they don't see it. Not just one race, but every race. Not just one tribe of people, but every tribe, even every person, is under satanic attack. You're going to have to fill your heart with the love of God, the word of God, in order to overcome, to know God. Now, the other problem, the newfangled gospel is a diversion, and there are many diversions. Now, a few weeks ago, I talked about how when Peter he was involved with healing the lame man. Well, the religious system didn't like it. They wanted to shut down the name of Jesus. But when they saw the boldness of Peter and the lame man standing there with him in Acts chapter 4, they couldn't say nothing against it, but they did not repent. They tried to find a way to shut it down. Evil men don't want people to know God through Jesus Christ. Our colleges are brainwashing our children, and we're paying them to do it. They're telling them that there is no, that anything but Jesus, because Jesus is the power source. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. I say that boldly, and I mean every word of it. Every other religion is dead. Don't trust another way, because you will die. Jesus is the only way out of this. The Lord gave us his word. It's been proven. If you study the book of Acts, you'll see the times. You'll see the times you're living in, because these are the days of Acts. The enemy has tried to shut down everything that makes our life strong. And so, my dad was a Methodist pastor. I grew up a Methodist. I love the Methodist church. I don't hate the Methodist church. I love the Methodist church. I love the Baptist church. In fact, some of the best Pentecostals come out, they were Baptist and Methodist first. Because those churches, the best, there are some wonderful teachers in the Baptist and the Methodist church. There's no singing like a Baptist choir and a Methodist choir. That's just the way it is. We're brothers. It's only one church. Man divided up in the, you know, with these bylaws that we come up with. But nevertheless, God loves all of his people, and he's responsible towards all of his people, and I love all of his people. I became a Pentecostal because I wanted to learn more about the Holy Spirit. Pentecostal church, they taught the spiritual gifts, and they taught about the spiritual things of life. And when I was growing up, Methodist and Baptist churches, they shunned those things. And they inspired me to want to know more. But then, why would people shun something so wonderful? You know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God gave us everything we needed. Joel talked about how we need it, the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost, when they received the Holy Spirit, then Peter started preaching. He said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And this shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. That had never been done before, but now it exists. And it can exist for you. You can benefit from the Holy Spirit. He's here to guide you into all truth, to help you learn. So in the Pentecostal churches, Satan said, I got to shut this down. So he sent divergence. Now, along with the teachings of the Holy Spirit, they had a doctrine called sanctification. Now, Jesus said, if you don't build with me, you scatter. He taught this. Now, when I was going to the holiness churches, they put a great emphasis on what you can't do. And that took the attention away from what the Holy Spirit came to do. And these were laws that had nothing to do with your life. You know, they said you can't go to movies. You can't play sports. You can't drink coffee. You can't go to the club. Well, people probably shouldn't go to the club. But they gave rules. And people were focused on keeping these rules instead of living. What's wrong with drinking coffee? Nothing. What's wrong with sports? Nothing. Women should wear pants. Women can't wear pants. You know, that was a problem. That became a diversion. And I want people to know something. God is greater. You have to, if you study the word for yourself, when I started studying chapter, I saw through some of those things. And the Holy Spirit never had me to preach a single message on the doctrines like I was taught. When, for instance, the enemy is afraid of women preachers. So that was part of the doctrine at the church I went to. So when we thought we knew what we was doing. See, people think the newfangled gospel is just a diversion, a lie. It's out of scriptural context. Now, I've been blessed by many women preachers, many of them. But before, when in those days, when they had that doctrine that women couldn't preach, and that's what Bishop Bonner taught, that's what the people taught. But I met a lady, she said, I used to go to Refuge Temple, but the Lord called me to the ministry, so I had to leave because they don't believe in women preachers. I'm like, wait a minute, that don't sound right. She seemed like a very honest lady. Then Elder Lewis, he had the Lord dealt with him about the women preachers. So he released the women preachers, and five of them had come forward. Obedience. There's no poverty in obedience. When you do it God's way, you overcome the lies of the serpent. You overcome the newfangled gospel. And we're going to be talking about the newfangled gospel, how it hurts people. When they told women they couldn't preach, and then God has kept telling them they got to preach, they're in conflict. They don't, you know, what do we do now? You see, man can go along with something until God deals with it. But when God starts showing you the truth, you have to shift gears. You can't stick with wrong for anyone. You don't have to be at odds. You don't have to hate them. I don't agree with most people on many things, but I don't let it bother me, and I don't bother people about what they believe. But I'm going to stand for the word of God. I'm going to do it God's way, and whoever disagree with the rightly divided word of God or the properly interpreted word of God, that's their problem. I don't care who it is. I'm going to stick with the word of God. When God give me more light, I'm going to walk in it. Jesus said, let your light shine. Let it shine. Once you know the truth, walk in the truth and let the chips fall where they may. Let the friendships fall where they may. Relationships, let them fall where they may. Follow God. Be the light. And you will lose friends. You will have shorter phone conversations, but you do it God's way, and it works. People will come around if they love. See, if you love God, people know it. If your life is working, people know that. You don't have to put a lid on the light. You don't have to put a lid on the light for anybody. But if you live the word of God, you give people hope. Very important. Now, when the women preachers came forth, they came forth with a great word. Sometimes we have to make adjustments. The newfangled gospel said they couldn't preach, and use scriptures to back it up, but they were just wrong. But when they came forward, they were a blessing. And we're designed by God to be a blessing. And Jesus deserved to have a church that loves him and loves his people like he does. And we need to give God our best. Jesus deserves that. And we need to do it. You can't follow doctrine and satisfy God. You have to follow the word. If the doctrine fits the word of God, fine. If it don't, make adjustments to it. Make the doctrine line up with the word before you practice it. And that don't mean you have to leave a church just because they disagree. Jesus did say, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? But guess what? These days, it's almost fair to say everybody believes a portion of the newfangled doctrine, unless they stay in the presence of God and they live a yielded life and follow Him. You know, when I believe things wrong and I taught things wrong, when the God gave me correction, I repented. But when I started ministering, I said, you know, a lot of people believe a lot of varied things. I said, how do I not get caught up in preaching something that's not true? And that was a big problem. I didn't want to preach because I didn't know all the details like I wanted to. And the Lord taught me to follow Him. So my fail-safe, I believe in fail-safes. My fail-safe was that I would only get preach what God give me, no more, no less. I'm not going to add to it. I'm not going to add my thoughts to it. I'm not going to add any doctrine to it. I'm going to preach precisely what God give me and be quiet. That was my fail-safe, and it works. Now, I watched to see if God would give me something about women wearing pants, women preachers, people drinking coffee, people playing sports. None of that ever came up. Movies, no. He never said anything about that. So I don't tell people what to eat, what to drink, where to go. You have the Holy Spirit. You follow Him. My job is to minister the Word of God. I preach the Word of God. Pet doctrines is for other people. And sometimes, most time when the people have pet doctrines and dogmas, the newfangled church is wrapped up in it. And I don't want to be part of that newfangled doctrine. I want to do it God's way. And everybody has the denominational churches, Sean, the spiritual gifts and the move of the Holy Spirit. They taught that it went out with the apostles, and it did not. That wouldn't make sense. That's not even wisdom. But people, where did it come? Where did it start? You know, the church went through the dark ages. The enemy almost won. It looked like he won. And for some people, he did win because a lot of things were lost in the dark ages. You know, it was against the law to be a Christian. People were not praying in the Holy Ghost. They weren't praying for the country, so the enemy dominated them. But that God always has a remnant. And a lot of people couldn't read the word for themselves. So people, the priest, the Catholic priest who really loved God, they had to sneak and teach people how to read. God always had a remnant to keep the word alive. And then they had to hide it from the king and the magistrates. See, God always has a remnant. Don't ever disqualify people. Now, if the church went through something like that, it's almost impossible for some of the newfangled things that was not there, that Jesus didn't start to bleed through. Deception, we have to find it and kill it. And we have to reject it. Or it will work like leaven. And you don't want any form of deception in your life. You can't live by deception. We live by the word of God, every word of God. But the Holy Spirit kept guiding people and leading people. Now, all the preachers that I heard, you know, my father was a Methodist. He was taught that way. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a difficult thing to believe something and see it a certain way. You were taught by people you trust. And it's hard to depart from it. My daddy was not a hypocrite. I told him about the Holy Spirit. He said, well, it don't take all that. Well, okay, from his point of view, he never seen what happens when you follow when you're endued with the power from on high. So he didn't have a reference for it. And then he was taught a certain way. See, knowledge is at war with knowledge. Deception is at war with truth. But when you receive deception as truth, think about it. It's hard to shift gears. Sometimes it takes another generation to start looking at it. Now, I grew up in the church, and I saw all the problems that were there. I saw people get sick. They needed healing. Daddy would visit them and pray for them and teach them and comfort them like a real pastor would do. He was a good man of God. He cared about the people. He loved God's people. I saw that kind of love. But when I read about what Paul and Peter was doing, I said, lame people were walking. I wanted that. We needed that. But he said that went out with the apostles. I said, well, that, and I didn't agree. As I studied the word, then, but I met a lady named Mom Powell, and she was hearing from God, and her words were full of wisdom. And you could tell that she, you could see the love of God in her. And I thought all Pentecostals were like her, but they're not. And she was a wonderful lady that inspired me. It gave me more to work with. See, I'm standing on my father's shoulders because without him, I would have been dead. If it wasn't for the prayers of my parents, I know for a fact I would be dead right now. So the life that they live inspired me to desire marriage. It inspired me to know God. So just because he didn't, we disagreed on one point, he was very valuable. And I pursued the Lord and found out that there were greater things. So we all win. We're part of a body. It can take a lifetime to get rid of some of the newfangled church dogmas. So be patient with people, and then you'll sow that, and people will be patient with you. We're all on a quest. So give up on winning arguments and start asking the Lord, what can I do to give people light? First, you have to stand for the light, and you can't give in to darkness, and you don't have to agree with everybody to get along. Live the word of God and let the friendships, chips, and relationships fall where they will. But do it God's way. And that, see, God will give you wisdom and how to share things, how to say things, what to do, how to stand. He'll fill in the blanks. It takes courage, but he's going to help you and he's with you. But first you have to want it. The new thing of doctrine will leaven you out if you let it. But stick with what Jesus said and you'll do fine. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is